24. Marching on. Skirmish. A hush descended over the studio. I took a breath and spoke. You have two phosphorus bombs, a confiscated IED, two fin-stabilized mortars, and a German MG3 machine gun with a full magazine. The target is a missile silo. What are you opting to play with? Phosphorus bomb, please. I can tell you that the silo is adjacent to a hospital. Play or rearm. Play. He's gone for play, which means this is a high-risk question. Your topic is American sitcoms. Get this wrong, and you wipe out the hospital and are back down to £100. Get it right, and the dishwasher is yours. Well, any viewer of UK Conquest / serious fans of dishwashers know what happens next, and I won't spoil the excitement for others by revealing it now. Suffice to say that all 208 episodes of military-based quiz Skirmish are available on DVD, and they definitely bear re-watching. The format was absorbing. Highbrow, but brilliantly simple. Players would vie to complete fictional or historical military operations with the fewest casualties, answering general knowledge questions to gain territorial advantage, tot up gung-ho points, or accrue weaponry. I'd honestly never been this excited about a format since Noel Edmonds sat me down with a pen and paper and explained the winning strategy for Deal or No Deal. The attention to military detail was second to none, with our armed forces consultant Dave Harrier free to work full-time for the show after his dishonourable discharge from the Scots Guards. It lent the show a quite terrifying realism, which in turn gave us wonderful moments of drama. Although never aired, the tension on Celebrity Skirmish was such that Yvette Fielding soiled herself. Skirmish then was a runaway success, on a good day achieving its target regional digital optional share of 2% of the regional digital available audience, which is 8,000 people. It was a new stage of my career, a new show on a new channel, and time, I felt, to experiment with a new look, not least because I was starting to swell grotesquely in weight. So I began to grow a beard, going so far as to invest in a miniature comb and a gentle wax. I'm told that Matthew Kelly uses conditioner on his, but that felt stupid to me. I did order a quality beard trimmer, though, recommended on Eric Clapton's website. The facial hair didn't last long, of course, as well as causing an itch that called for perpetual and frenzied scratching. It wasn't to everyone's taste. Plus, Bill Oddy threw a tantrum when he heard I was growing it and sent me a very, very curt letter. No matter, I was back on the telly and things were better than ever. Better than ever? Come off it, Partridge. Yes, better than ever, so shut your mouth. It was better because it was TV without the restrictive, choking, stifling, suffocating bureaucracy and creativity-aborting compliance culture of the BBC. The BBC is like an uncaring sow, lying there fat and impassive, as a host of piglets jostle to suck calcium-rich milk from her many jaded teats. TV talent chases BBC presenting work as if it's the be-all and end-all. Not me, though. Unlike your average piglet, Alan Partridge had the gumption to look beyond the udders of this particular swine and monetize his talent via other channels. I was approached by Matt and Mario from a production company called AAA Productions, a name that was such a brazen attempt to appear first in telephone directories, I couldn't help but be impressed. They met me in the meeting room of a Regis office facility, which you can hire by the hour, telegraphing the fact that they weren't even based in the building, but were a back-bedroom operation masquerading as a properly established company. They talked me through the idea of Skirmish, about their vision for the show and ITV's keen interest. They even showed some marketing material they'd mocked up to promote my agreement to present the show. It was a photoshopped image of me as John Rambo, armed to the nines with high-grade weaponry and question cards. They'd superimposed that over an actual screenshot of the moment I shot Forbes McAllister and included a speech bubble of him saying, "Be careful with that." Well, I absolutely hooted with laughter. This was an inspired piece of show marketing that was incredibly crass / inventive, and boded well for the quality of the show. I agreed to take the job there and then, shaking their hands and then leaving their hired meeting room, still laughing my head off. ITV got cold feet in the end and decided not to take the show, even though Matt and Mario assured me the Channel had definitely been interested and they'd definitely had a meeting there, even though they couldn't remember who with. No matter, because new satellite channel UK Conquest were sniffing around like a randy dog who'd picked up the musky excellence of another dog's vagina. The channel's ethos, guns, girls, guys, grrr, seemed ideally suited to skirmish. At first we were to be its flagship show, broadcast on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. The Wednesday and Friday shows were to be repeats of the Monday one. Alongside me was glamorous assistant Susie Dent, better known as the resident lexicographer from Countdown. Susie resigned after the first show, pointing out politely that the actual format hadn't been explained to her. Although the loss of such a talented bookworm was a major blow, it proved to be the making of us. It probably suited the tone of a hard-nosed show to have someone a bit rougher, and urban DJ Lisa Lanson brought a Westwood-style glamour to the proceedings. Before long, we'd massively upped our output, and on my insistence, were making 3 shows a day, 6 days a week. This was to be my undoing.